Today's daf is Erechin daf Yud Gimel. We are holding on daf Yud Gimel Amar Aleph. We are at the two dots toward the top of Yud Gimel Amar Aleph. If you recall, yesterday's daf was discussing the Braisa. The bulk of it discussed the Braisa that figured out the timing of the Churbanos of the first and second Bate HaMikdash, and said that both of them, at least Pashup Shad and the Braisa, that both of them happened on Motzoi Shviyas, that the Churban HaBayis, both in the first and the second Bate HaMikdash, was the year after a Shemitah year. So the Gemara just tried to figure out how that could possibly work out. And we had two opinions how Yovlos or Cheshbon. There's the Shita of the Rabbanan that Yovel works on a 50-year cycle, and the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda that Yovel really works on a 49-year cycle, because the year of Yovel also counts as the first year toward the next Shemitah. So we pointed out that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's going to be, according to the Rabbanan rather, it's going to be very difficult to figure out how the second Beis HaMikdash could have been destroyed on a Motzai Shviyas. You have to realize the second Beis HaMikdash was around for 420 years, which means it was destroyed in year 421. If we work on a 50-year cycle, so the Yovel of 400 years is 8 cycles, and then you have two Shemitah cycles brings you to 414. Year 420 is year 6 of a Shemitah cycle. Year 421, when the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, is a Shemitah year. It's not Motzai Shviyas. So the Gemara suggested, well, maybe that's assuming that second price is assuming like Rabbi Yehuda, but then the Gemara suggested, no, it's even going like the Rabbanan, but when we say that Motzai Shviyas Haisa, that was only about the first Beis HaMikdash. When we say that V'chein V'sheni, that the same facts were true about the second Beis HaMikdash, it didn't mean which year it was destroyed, because the second Beis HaMikdash was in fact not destroyed in Motzai Shviyas. And the Gemara's raya to the fact that when we say the same is true, the second Beis HaMikdash is not going on all the details, is because another one of those details was that it happened during the Mishmar of Yehoyariv, and there was no Mishmar of Yehoyariv in the second Beis HaMikdash, because when Ezra came back from Bavel, only four families of Kohanim followed him. Most of the Kohanim stayed back. Yehoyariv was not one of the four families. And the Gemara had mentioned in that context that even if Yehoyariv comes back, they're not going to be Doche Yedaya Mimekomo. The family of Yedaya that took over a group of six Mishmaros is still going to remain in their spot. Yedayo Iker and Yehoyariv is Tafelo. Even if Yehoyariv comes back, Yehoyariv is only going to be Tafel to Yedaya. So I just want to make one point about that before we move on, and that is Rashi in Maseches Tainis on Daf Chav Zayinam and Beis, Dibra Maschel Lo Yidche. Rashi writes that if Yehoyariv comes back, they're going to take from the six Mishmaros of Yedaya, and Yedaya will only cover five Mishmaros, and then Yehoyariv will do the sixth of these six Mishmaros that were in Yedaya's domain until Yehoyariv came back. Because, after all, we can't make a 25th Mishmar. Everything is broken down into 24 Mishmaros. Four families came back, took six each. So when more families come back, they're going to have to give up one of their six for the new families that come back. Asks the Gvuras Ari, the Shagas Aryeh, in the Sefer Gvuras Ari and Tainis, according to Rashi, they do not get penalized a single bit for not coming back. Yehoyariv is going to come back, and they'll get a Mishmar back, the way Rashi understands it. Meaning, Yedaya is going to take five out of the six, and Yehoyariv will get one out of the six that Yedaya had, which is one out of the 24, which is exactly what they would have had they had in the first place of Mikdash, and it's exactly what they would have had everybody come back. So according to Rashi, there's no penalty for not coming back. So that's very hard to believe. So the Gvuras Ari suggests that really there must have been two takanos that were done, Litova Yedaya. First of all, that Yehoyariv, which came before Yedaya in the first Beis HaMikdash, in the second Beis HaMikdash, Yedaya would come before Yehoyariv. It's a matter of who goes first. Rashi said that Yehoyariv gets the last of the sixth, that Yedaya had. Yedaya holds on to the first five, so it's a matter of Seder. And the second issue is that even when Yehoyariv comes back, it's not going to have its own Mishmar Bifnei Atzma. It's always going to be Tafel to the Mishmar of Yedaya, meaning the six of Yedaya are going to stay six, against Rashi. Rashi. Not that Yedaya is only going to take five and they're going to have to give up one of them for Yehoyariv. Yedaya is still going to do six. Yehoyariv will get to help them during that sixth week. But that's what it means. It's tough elow. Not that they'll get their own mishmar. They will literally be tough el, and they're going to be called al shem mishmar Yedaya. And since Yehoyariv is tough el, the Rosh Mishmar, the Rosh Beis Av, are all going to be from Yedaya. They're not going to be from Yehoyariv. That's all part of the penalty. So therefore, it turns out that even if all the lazy Mishmaros that didn't show up originally were to come back, they would be penalized. They would not just seamlessly go right back to the way they had it in the times of the first Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so says the Gemara now at the two dots, five lines in. Rav Ashi Amar Hanach Shish Shni Ad the Salik Ezra Umakdish Loka Chashavlu. Rav Ashi says, I have another way to solve how we could even assume like the Rabbanan that we work on a 50-year cycle, and we could still assume that the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on a Motsa'i Shavias. Because after all, the way we cheshbend it, it sounds like if you work on a 50-year cycle, the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on a Shemitah year itself. How could it be that it was on a Motsa'i Shavias? So he says, we started counting the cheshbonos of Shemitos and Yovel 6 years later than you thought. Meaning the 6 years that from when Ezra came up until it was 6 years from when the Golas Bavel ended until we started counting Shemitos and Yovel, in which case you only have a cheshbon of 414 years, right? If you start in year six, counting toward the Shemitos and Yovel, you only have 414 years that count. So by the year the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed actually turns out to be Motzai Shviyas, because if you do 414 years, you have 850-year cycles, then 2 7-year cycles of Shemitah, and then the following year was destroyed. That's a Motzai Shviyas. That works out perfectly. So how does he know this, that we don't count the first 6 years? Tichsiv, because the Pasuk says, Badayin Batelas Avidas Beis Allah Debi Yerushalayim The whole pasuk is important, even though the Gemara doesn't quote the whole pasuk. Is that the pasuk emphasizes that it was the second year of Melech Daryavesh, Melech Pras. That's when the Beis HaMikdash began to be built. They began building it in the second year of Melech Daryavesh. So in the second year of Melech Daryavesh is when Galus Bavel ended. Uksiv, and the pasuk also says, Vishetzi Baisa Duna Ad Yom Tlasal Yerech Adar Dihi Shnas Sheis. L'malchus tar yavesh malka talks about the sixth year of malchus tar yavesh. That's when that in the sixth year the Beis HaMikdash was completed. So from year two to year six is 5 years. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 5 years of after Galus Bavel, the Beis was over. The Beis HaMikdash was completed. V'tana ba'osuz man l'shana haba ala Ezra v'galuso imo. And it said that the following year Ezra came up. So when did we start counting the Shemitah bin Yovel? It's when Ezra finally showed up. When did Ezra show up? 6 years after the Beis HaMikdash started to be constructed. So that's how we know that the first 6 years didn't count toward the Cheshbonos of Shemitah bin Yovel, and that's why it works out very well that the Beis HaMikdash was in fact destroyed in a Motsa'i Shviyas, the year after a Shemitah year. Even the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in a Motsa'i Shviyas. Fine, Gufa. We mentioned previously, there were a total of 17 Yovlos from the time we entered Eretz Yisrael until we were exiled at the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. Remember, we did the cheshbon yesterday, is that the first Beis HaMikdash was around for 410 years, and we were in Eretz Yisrael for 440 years prior to the Churban. 440 plus 410 is 850. 850 divided by 50 is 17. So 17 Yovlos, assuming like the sheet of the Rabbanan, obviously, that it works out exactly perfectly. 17 Yovlos over 850 years. V'yata yachal omar mishenichnesu manu, shimat omar mishenichnesu manu nimtza b'yischar v'tchilis Yovel. But here's the problem. We said that the Yecheskel had a nevuah that 14 years after the Churban HaBayis was a Yovel year. So how does that work out? If we start counting the Yovels right away when we go in, and we have 850 years, right? That before, but till the Churban of the first Beis HaMikdash. So the Yovel year should have been that year. 850 was a Yovel year. How could Yecheskel say that 14 years later is a Yovel year? No, 50 years later would have been another Yovel year. So what's going on? So you have to say that we didn't start counting right when we walked into Eretz Yisrael. That we came into Eretz Yisrael and it took 14 15 years before we started counting. And that's why the Yovel year first happened, the Yovel year that Yechezkel was referring to happened 14 years after the Churban. V'yatamotzi barbaas hashana achar asher huksahi ir. Yechezkel's nevuah of a Yovel year being 14 years after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Why did we not count for 14 years? Because we first had to wait for the Sheva Shekivshu, the Sheva Shechilku. We had to wait for the 7 years of Kibush Haaretz, the 7 years of dividing up the land, and then we were able to start counting Shemitah and then we were able to start counting Yovlos. So says the Gemara, how do we know that there existed? We always talk about it. Sheva Shekivshu, Sheva Shechilku. Who says that it took 7 years to conquer, it took 7 years to divide? Sheva Shekivshu Minelan. Where do we find 7 years to conquer? The Kamar Kalev, so we figured out through the ages of Kalev ben Yifuna at different times throughout his life. Ben Arboim Shana Anochi B'Shalach Moshe Ever Hashem Osi Mikadosh Barnea L'Ragel Asa Aretz Vata Yinei Anochi Ayom Ben Chamish Ushmonim Shana. Kalev ben Yifuna declares that he was 40 years old when Moshe Rabbeinu sent him to spy out the land, and now when the Jews are in Eretz Yisrael, he's 85 years old. So what's going on? So how does the Cheshbon work? Vamar Mar Shana Rishona Asa Moshe Mishkan. First year that we were in the Midbar, Moshe Rabbeinu was working on making the Mishkan. Shnia Hukama Mishkan. The second year, the Mishkan was actually erected. Vishalach Meraglim, and that's when he sent Meraglim as well. So Ki Avur Yardin Kalev Bar Kama Havi. So if Kalev was 40 when the Meraglim were sent, how old was Kalev when the Jewish people crossed the Yarden? So Bar Timnin Nechi Tartin. He must have been 80 minus 2. He must have been 78 years old. How do we know he was 78 years old? Because again, he was 40 after 2 years in the Midbar, and they had 38 more years in the Midbar. So he was 78 years old at the time that they go into Eretz Yisrael. Kika Maflig Nachlos Ka'amar Ben Chamish Rishmanim Shana Anochi. When they're about to start the Chiluk Aretz, he says, I'm 85. How's he 85 when they're about to start the Chiluk Haaretz? Must be that the Kibush took 7 years. So that's how we find out that it was 7 years of Kibush Haaretz. So says Mar, that's great. That's Kibush Haaretz. V'sheva shechilku minalan. Where do we find that it took 7 years to divide the land, to give out all the tribal holdings? So Iba Yisema mideshava kivshu sheva chilku. One possibility is, well, if it took 7 years to conquer, it took 7 years to divide. What in the world does that mean? So it says Rashi Maseches Zvachim, Rashi and Zvachim Daf Kufiyur Chesam Beis writes, yes, Svara bi Alma, that it's a Svara bi, two words, Svara bi Alma, it's a Svara, that if it took 7 years to conquer, it took 7 years to divide. So the Chaznish is very unhappy about this. Chaznish and Shvius at the end of Simon Gimel says, I don't understand, Kibush takes time because you have to fight wars, you have to conquer, you have to... Chiluk could take a day or two. You should sit down in a room and map it out and why would it take 7 years? What kind of svar is that? Because it took 7 years of kibush, it took 7 years of chiluk. So I saw in the Biri Adaf over here, he quotes a sefer Beis Yishai, Simon Beis Ostalin. I don't know who Beis Yishai is, but the sefer Beis Yishai writes that lechora you can ask more questions over here. How could you say first of all that the kibush was only 7 years? It's not true. The pasuk itself tells us. Va'aretz nishra harbe ma'ol derishta, that much of the land, even after all the chiluk was done, in the 13th parak of Sefer Yehoshua, after all this stuff is done, the whole first part of Sefer Yehoshua is about the kibush v'chiluk. But after all this is done, the book still tells us, you know, there was a lot that was unconquered. So what do you mean? It wasn't 7 years of conquering. It was a very, very decades and decades of conquering. So you have to say that after 7 years, they started the chiluk, and that put an end to what we call the years of kibush, even though there was still more kibush going on. Not only that, the Rambam writes that mipnei ze cholak Yeshua beis dino kol Eretz Yisrael l'shvatim afal pishlo nichbisha kidei shlo ye kibush yachiv kashiyal kol shevet v'yichvosh chelko. They wanted to start the chiluk even before the kibush was over, so that anyone who conquers further would not be doing a kibush yachid; it would be a kibush for the klal. So then, what does the Gemara mean that it was shevet shanim shekivshu? And also, why did they wait 7 years to begin the Chalukah Sa'aretz? Why didn't they start right away doing the Chalukah as they got land? They should have started dividing it up and giving it to the various Shvatim. So says this Beis Yishai, Be'emes, you have to say that the Gemara is not trying to describe a Metzius. how much time was spent conquering, how much time was spent dividing. No, the din of kibush, kibush was going on for a long, long time after the 7 years. What we're trying to say is that the din of kibush is only after 7 years. Until 7 years, there the kibush that we did didn't have a chalos shame kibush. It didn't have a din of kibush, and that's what the Gemara is saying. That misvara, just like the din of kibush was only chal after 7 years, so to the din of chiluk, we may have divided up and people may have gotten shares of land, but it didn't have a din of chiluk ha'aretz until after 7 years. The only question I'm left with is, what does that mean? A din of kibush, a din of chiluk. What halachos took effect at the 7 year mark and at the 14 year mark? So he just in the Biri Adav, I don't have the sefer, so I can't look it up. In the Biri Adav, he just has in a footnote, Re'esham shebir ba'orech mahu din hakibush umahu din hachalukah. So I got to trust that there is some sort of din that he explains in that sefer, but I don't know exactly what the din is. Okay, fine. So that's one possibility of how we know that there was shevesh hachilku, because if there were seven of kibush, mistam there were seven of chiluk. And the way the Beis Yishai understands it, not that that's how long it took, but that if it was 7 years till the din, till the had a chalos shame kibush, so it's 7 years till the din of chalos shame chiluk took effect. Because that's the other answer is there must have been sheva shechilku, otherwise there's no way to make sense of Yecheskel's nevuah. Yecheskel's nevuah was 14 years after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Was a yovel. The only way that makes sense is if the counting started 14 years late. So the only way the counting started 14 years late is if we had 7 years of chiluk, just like we had 7 years of kibush. That's what could start the counting. Maybe that's the din of chiluk. The din of chiluk is that we start counting yovlos. Maybe that's the idea of a din chiluk, that it's only going to be chal after 7 years. Okay, anyway, says the Mishnah. Remember, we were in a series of Mishnayos that discussed, you never have any more than this or less than that, right? In all different areas of Shas. So now the Mishnah continues. Ein pochsin mishisha tlaim amavukarin belishchas atlaim kedei l'shabbos v'liyom tovim shel Rosh Hashanah. You never have less than six lambs that are checked for mumin in the lishchas atlaim, in the Beis HaMikdash, in order to accommodate the karbanos tamid that you're going to need for Shabbos and 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Meaning, let's say, Rosh Hashanah is on Thursday, Friday. So if you have Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, so you're going to need six karbanos tamid. So you always need at all times six lambs that are already checked for any moment in the lishkas hatlayim. That's the pasuk pshat in the Mishnah. Umosif nadolim. How many can you have? What's the maximum? You can have as many as you want, but it's got to be a minimum of six. You also can't have any less than two chatzotros and tisha kinoros in the musical accompaniment of the karbanos, but you can have as many as you want, except vatzilzalavad. The symbols, you can only have one set of symbols. You can't have multiple sets. You can't have multiple sets of symbols. That you can only have one. So this idea that you can't have less than six talaim amavukarim, belishchas talaim, the Gemara is going to learn this out from the din of bikur mumin of a karban tamid. The fact that you have a din of bikur mumin of a karban tamid, the Gemara is going to learn out from karban pesach. That we know about karban pesach, they needed 4 days to be mevaker the mumin, to check the animal for any mumin. So the Gemara is going to learn this from that the same is true from by karban tamid from karban pesach. Now the Gemara Maseches Pesachim says that even though the Ikur Chiyuv of Bikur is said Legabe Pesach Mitzrayim, nevertheless even Pesach Doros requires Bikur for 4 days, because the pasuk says Vavadas Avodah Zos Bechodesh Zeh, that all the Avodos Chodesh Zeh Kozeh should be just like the first Pesach, and therefore all Karbanos Pesach are compared to each other. So Karban Pesach always requires Bikur Dalid Yamim. Pesach Sheni does not require 4 Yamim of Bikur. That's what the Gemara seems to say. Now the Rashba Maseches Menachos writes that Pesach Doros does not require Bikur of 4 Yamim before the Shechita, because a Pesach is a Karban Yachid, and we don't find a Karban Yachid that requires Bikur. Very strange. It seems to be directly against a Gemara in Maseches Pesachim. So anyway, but that's what the Rashba writes. If you look at Pesachim, Sadivav Amid Aleph seems to be against that Rashba. Anyway, says the Gemara Vayter, Tamidin Musafin Tuvahavu. Wait a second. If you need to put aside enough karbanos that are already checked for mumin in the Lishkas Hatzalim in advance of a 3-day yantif, you better put more than six animals there, because not only do you have six karmatav, Tamid, you have plenty of Karbanos Musaf. So what are you going to do with all the Karbanos Musaf? So Tana B'Alma Kai says the Gemara, no, it didn't really mean that you need to prepare four 2 days of Rosh Hashanah and Shabbos. It means you always need six there, whenever, at all times of the year. Not specifically Rosh Hashanah and Shabbos. Rosh Hashanah and Shabbos come together, you can need a few more. V'atmidin l'chudekai, we're just talking about how many Karbanos Tamid you need in there at any time, how many future Karbanos Tamid you need in there. Umay kedei l'shabbos liyom tovim, simana bi'alma. We say kedei l'shabbos liyom tovim shlo Rosh Hashanah as a way of remembering that the number is six, lest a person make a mistake and think the number is five or four or three. So we give a simon. The simon is however many karbanos tamid you would need over a 3 day yantif. So that's six karbanos tamid. That's just the simon bi'alma. V'achi kamar ein pochsin mishisha tala'im hamuvukarim belishchas hatala'im arba'a yamim kodem shchita. That you can never have less than six animals that have been checked for mumen for 4 days prior to the shchita. Umani ben bagbag here, and we're assuming like the shita of ben bagbag. The Tanya ben bagbag omer, ben bagbag says minayin l'tamid shetan bikur arba yom kodem shchita. How do I know that a carbon tamid requires bikur for 4 days prior to the shchita? Again, bikur is the process of checking it for any mum. Tamalomar tishmeru lahakriv li b'mo'ado. Ulalanu omer, that's by the carbon tamid. It says tishmeru lahakriv li b'mo'ado. Ulalanu omer v'haya lechem l'mishmeres ad arba aso yom l'chodesh. So it says mishmeres and tishmeru, and the lechem l'mishmeres is obviously is referring to the carbon pesach. So we see that tishmeru by carbon tamid, mishmeres by carbon pesach. So we link the two together. Malalan ton bikur arba yom kodem shchita, just like carbon pesach requires. Requires 4 days of check-in for mumin in advance of the shchita. Afkanton bikur bar yom kadam shchita. So too, karban tamid requires 4 days of check-in for mumin in advance of the shchita. Dekanami dekatani kidei l'shabbos v'lo katani l'shabbos. And it's meduyik that the Mishnah was just giving a simen when it said Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah, and it wasn't talking about actually preparing for Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah. It was talking about how many animals you would need always, and the way to remember it is by knowing how many tamidin you would need for a 3 day yantif, is because the Mishnah used the words kidei l'shabbos l'shayam tov Rosh Hashanah, the amount that you would need for Shabbos and 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. It does not say you need six for Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah. No, it's the amount that you would need for Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah. Now, a couple of points about this din of bikur kodem the shchita. Rashi, in his first pshat in the Gemara over here, says that it's that you're allowed to bring the karban tamid on the 4th day of the bikur, meaning the 4 days includes the day of shchita itself. You don't need 4 days and then the following day do shchita. You can do shchita on day 4 itself. That's what Rabbeinu Gershom writes as well. And the reason you don't need 4 days plus a day of shchita is because we have a rule in Gan Shas, Miktsas Hayom, Kikulo. So there's a din of 4 days, so having the beginning of the 4th day is good enough, and then you can do the shchita right away. So it says if you waited a full 4 days, but Rashi asks on this pshat, from what happened in Pesach Mitzrayim. When did we have to designate our animals, take aside our animals for Pesach Mitzrayim? On the 10th day of the month, which meant that we had 4 full days, 10, 11, 12, and 13, before Shechita was done on the 14th day. So that was, we did not do a Miktsas Yom Kikulo on the last day. So Rashi therefore writes that maybe you could say a different pshat, that really you're not allowed to be makar v'karban tamid any time before the 5th day. You need 4 full days. It has the same din as Karban Pesach. However, the Moshe of Zakenim is Miyashev, the kasha that Rashi asks on himself, and says maybe the first pshat of Rashi is correct. Because think about the Karban Pesach. When did they get it? On the 10th day. When on the 10th day? So probably sometime, it doesn't say that they had to get it early in the morning on the 10th day, or before the 10th day start. No, they could have been samach l'shkiyas achama. Could have been right before Shkia on the 10th day of Nisan, which meant how many days were they actually checking it for women? Day 11, day 12, day 13, and then day 14 is Shkita. So it was really Miktsas Kikulo, meaning it's not that they had 4 days plus the day of Shechita, they had 4 days including the day of Shechita at Pesach Mitzrayim. So therefore, Rashi's first pshat could be correct, that it's Miktsas Kikulo. Another issue, Rashi Maseches Pesachim writes that each of these 4 days, I mean, this din of Bikur, how much checking do you have to do? Similar to, a little bit, obviously, totally different context, but similar to the fact that a woman has to do bedikos during Shiva Nikiyim. She has to count 7 clean days. So how much counting does she actually have to do? Does she have to check each and every day to make sure that she's... Does she have to check constantly throughout all 7 days? So what do you have to do? So Mikra Din B'di'eved, it would be, let's say, Be'elchus Nida, B'di'eved, L'chadchila, we require just 2 B'dikas a day for 7 days. And that's the sheet of a minority of Rishonim, but it's called in Shulchan Aruch. Most Rishonim say 1 B'dikah a day for 7 days. But Mikra Din, the Shulchan Aruch says, if she did just day 1 and day 7, that would be good enough. She'd be allowed to go to the mikveh, right? With just the day 1 and the day 7. There's some Kala teachers that teach that l'chadchila because they don't know what they're talking about. But it's against Shulchan Aruch. I've had a few cases like that where women called me up and said, I forgot to do my day 7 bedika. So, okay, did you do the first 6 days? No, I only did day 1. The Kala teacher told me only to do day 1. Okay, but anyway, so when you're doing Bikur of Mumin for 4 days, what does that mean? You do each of the 4 days? Or do you do day 1 and day 4? Exactly what do you do? So Rashi writes in Maseches Pesachim, each of the 4 days you need to check it again. It needs to check each and every day, and that's how the Tiferes Yisrael is medayek from Rashi as well. That's Rashi Pesachim, Daf Tzadi Vav Amud Aleph. Good, so that is that's Shitas Rashi. However, the Rambam in Hilchos Tmidim Musaf in Parak Aleph, Halacha Tes, writes that you need to be mevakrit for Mumin only once at the beginning of the 4 days, and then once again right before you do the Shechita. And that counts, that's 4 days of Bikur. You just put it away in between, but you only need to be mevakrit twice throughout the period of time. And the Chaznish is Melchiach from the Mishnah, that Samuch L'Shechita you definitely have to be Bodek. But he says it could be that the whole din of being bodek is only dimid rabbanan, as long as at the end of the day it doesn't have any mumin. Now, one more important ha'ara about this bikur for mumin, and that is that the Medrash in Taurus Kohanim says that if you shecht the carbon tamid that you didn't do bikur on, so you're chay, and you shecht it on Shabbos, you're going to be chayiv a carbon chatas, and you're going to need to bring another carbon in its place. Meaning, it's considered chil Shabbos, and you need to bring another carbon in its place because you weren't yotzei the carbon tamid. Aye, but you check it now, it doesn't have any movement on it. You got lucky. No, you didn't. Because without the mitzvah of Bikur, it's ma'akev b'di'evet. You're not even yotzei the carbon at all. And that's what Tosfos writes in Maseches Sukkah, Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, that Bikur of the Tamid is ma'akev, even if it turns out to be a tamid, to be tamim, not to have any, not to be a balmum. The Shagasari and Gvura Sari and Tainus Daf Chavtes wonders about this Tosos. He says, wait a second, when are things ma'akev by kachim? Things are only ma'akev by kachim if it's shana lava kasav la'akev. That's rule number one of kachim, that you needed to say it twice in order for something to be ma'akev by kachim. Where does it say bikur twice? And aside from that, the ikur din of bikur by a karmen tamid is learnt from karmen pesach. By karmen pesach, the bikur is not ma'akev, it's a beferish mechilta, that the bikur is not ma'akev by karmen pesach. So why would it be ma'akev dafka by carbon tamid? So the Aruch Lener has a whole limud where he shows that the din of bikur, yes, it's originally derived from carbon tamid, but there are two different things, two different words that are used within the parsha of carbon tamid that refer to the din of bikur. So it's ki'ilu with shana lavakas of la'akev, even though the very source where we learn it from by Pesach, it's not shana lavakas of la'akev. So we learn the din of bikur, that there exists a din of bikur from carbon Pesach, but we have two links between Pesach and Tamid. So those two links comprise a Shana Lavakas of La'akev, which would make a Ma'akev for the carbon Tamid. Okay, says the Gemara weiter now. Mishtei Chatzotzos Mosifin, right, you never have less than two Chatzotzos, but you could be Mosif as many as you want. So says the Gemara, a very strange question. The Ad Kama, how many? How many can you have? What's the maximum? What do you mean, what's the maximum? We just said the maximum is infinity, the Mishnah said. So Tosfos on the bottom of Amud Aleph points out that it has to be that there's a maximum. It can't be that it's infinity, because it wouldn't sound good. It's at what point does it stop sounding good? Does it stop, you know, a 1,000-piece band? That probably sounds terrible. How are they all going to stay on the same, be playing the same notes at the same time? It's going to be very, very difficult. It's not going to sound good. And Tos says, first pshat, though, maybe what we're asking is, how much should we, you know, we always try to do hider mitzvah. So we go out of our way to try to add as much as we can to a mitzvah. How much have we hit the point of diminishing returns where it's no longer hider mitzvah? Yeah, you could have thousands if you want, but would we bother ourselves to try to get that? That's what we're asking. Ad kama, how much should we bother ourselves to try to get for hider mitzvah? So we don't say ad shlish over here for some reason. So amar av huna v'amri la amar av zivdi amar av huna ad mei av esrim, up until 120 pieces. Shenemar av imam kanim le mei av esrim mechatzim mechatzotros. Fine. Mitisha kinaros v'tziltzel avad. There's only one symbol. So minani mili amar av asi damar Makra, Vasav Mitzaltaim Lashmiyam, Mitzaltaim Treyavu. But wait a second, Mitzaltaim sounds like a plural, sounds like there are two symbols. So it says Mark, even the Chad Avid Ta Avdi, the Chad Gavra Avid Behu, Karilu Chad. There are two symbols, means one set of symbols, meaning symbols you need to bang against each other. So that's what it means. There was one guy banging two big metal things against each other. So that's what we mean, one symbol. Mishnah, you can never have less than 12 levim by the duchan. You can have as many as you want, though. There's no maximum. A katan is not allowed to come into the azara to do avoda, to do any sort of work, except when the levim are singing shira. And the katan also is not allowed to play any of the instruments. He's only allowed to sing. The levi katan is only allowed to sing because he makes the singing more beautiful by his singing. The Rashi points out because the katan has a higher voice, so he's able to reach notes that a gadol is not able to reach. So that's his contribution. But to play musical instruments, he has no business playing musical instruments in the mikdash. You need training for that. He's too young for that. You wait for older people who are much more trained. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Amar Einol Laminyan Veinol Laduchan Ela Ba'aretz Hayomdim Rashein Ben Ragli Alvim. He doesn't count toward the 12 levim that you need, the katan, and also he doesn't go up on the duchan, on the stage. He sits amongst the, in between the legs of the other levim, down below where they are. Vitzare halevim ayinu krayin, and the ketanim were called the people who caused anguish to the levim. These ketani levim caused great anguish. The Gemara will discuss what the tsar was. So hani kenegin me. What's this number 12? Why do we have the dafka 12 levim? Says Gemara, because you have 12 musical instruments. Amar afapa kenegin tisha kinaros v'shnei nevalim mitzil tzalechad. You had 12 pieces. Band is the minimum that we just discussed in the last Mishnah, so you need 12 levim. Shneimar hu shneimasar. So if you have a 12 piece band, so no matter who's playing the instruments, we had a three-way machlokes tanaim who's playing it, but you need at least as many voices as there are instruments. So that's why you have 12 levim singing while there are 12 other people, whether it be that they're levim or avdei kohanim or whoever, miyuchasim shem Yisrael, whoever it is, the 12 others who are playing the instruments. We said the katanim are only allowed to go in while the levim are singing shiras. How do we know that's true? Am Rabbi Yochanan Damakrav Yamod Yeshua Banav VeAchiv Kadmi Alu Banav Bnei Yehuda Keechel Natzeach Al Osei Amalacha VeBeis Elokim VeGomer. So you count it up, and it turns out that they're only going in. The pasuk has extra phrases to imply that they're only going in while people are playing instruments. Ketanim, levim ketanim are not allowed to play the instruments, they're only allowed to sing. So it says the name of the novel l'chud v'kino l'chud, but wait a second. We said they can't play what instruments? The novel and the kinar. So wait a second, novel and kinar, are they two separate instruments? Lema masnis and delok Rabbi Yehuda, that sounds like we're going against Rabbi Yehuda. Titani Rabbi Domer, kinar shel mikdash shel shivas nimin haya. Rabbi Yehuda said the kinar that they had in the mikdash had seven strings. Shenemar, sovas machos es panecha, altik risova el sheva. We don't read it as sova, we read it as sheva, that there were seven strings. V'shal Yimosa Mashiach, shmona. The kinar in Yimosa Mashiach is going to have eight strings. So it's an eight-string harp. Shenemar, lamnatzeach al shminis. Al nima shminis. Lamnatzeach is on the eighth string of the harp. That's the lamnatzeach, because that eighth string is added in Yimosa Mashiach. Shalom haba eser. The harp, the kinar of Olam Haba is going to have 10 strings. Shnemar ali yasar v'ali novel ali higayon b'kinar. Sounds like novel and kinar are one and the same. Va'omer hodol Hashem b'kinar b'novel asar zamr lo shir lo shir chadash. Again, novel and kinar. Sounds like it's referring to one instrument that has 10 strings. So says Gemara, Afil Tem Rabbi Yehuda, Liolam Haba, I did in fishing Neiman today, Nafesh Kale, Ki Novel Kari Le Novel. That really a kinar and novel are two different things, but in Olam Haba, since the kinar is going to have so many strings, it's going to make the same sounds like a novel can make, and therefore it's called by both names when we talk about the one that they're going to have in Olam Haba. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, Omer Ein Olam Minyan, that Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says, Ketanim, don't count toward the number of 12 levim that you're allowed to have. So Tana v'sada levim hayunikrai. We had a brisa that says that the ketanim were called the helpers to the levim because they helped along the singing. V'tana didan kiven dehani katim kalayu v'hani av kalayu hani mikati v'hani lo mikati karilu tsari. Our Tana says that they were tsorei halavim, that they were mitzari the levim. That's because they had nice voices. They sang really well. They sang with very high voices. They were able to reach notes that the other levim weren't able to reach, and that's why they're called tsorei Halevim, because that itself caused Tsar to Levim. There's a very important Rambam in regard to Ketanim, to Levim or Ketanim. The Rambam claim Mikdash Par Gimel Lach Zayin writes that a Ben Levi is not Nichnas Le'avoda Ad Sheyagdil V'yeh Ish. Shnemer Ish Ish El Avoda So. He has to grow up and be an Ish before he can come do the Avodas. So the Kesemisha says, from the Rambam, it sounds like when he is an Ish, he's Kosher Le'avoda. But that's a stira to what the Rambam himself writes, that a Ben Levi is not Nichnas Le'avoda until he's 30 years old. And that's what it says in the Gemara Maseches Chulin on Daf Chav Dal and Amar Aleph. So which is it? Does he have to be an Ish, which is Bar Mitzvah? Or does he have to be a Ben Shloshim? Stira in the Rambam. Says the Kesef Mishnah, for sheer dafka, for sheer, to play musical instruments and to sing, that he has to learn the chachmas hamuzika, he has to learn all the musical notes, and he has to study music for a long time, so that you need him to be 30 years old for. But other avodos, he doesn't need any limud, and he's able to come in already when he's 13. Our Gemara is teaching an additional chiddush that even before his bar mitzvah, he's able to come help out with the music, but he doesn't count as one of the 12. He can't come in to be one of the 12, one of the people who are actually playing the music and singing the music who counts until he's 30 years old. So it comes out very interesting. Someone just emailed me this morning that it turns out that prior to his 13th birthday, he's allowed to sing. From the age of 13, Lechara, till 30, he's not allowed to sing, because he's not adding anything, he doesn't have a soft voice anymore, and he doesn't count toward the minion, so Lechara, he shouldn't be allowed there, he's probably not allowed to sing at all. And he has a 17-year break, and then when he's 30, he can come back, and he could sing again. Mistama, that's correct. So, Hadron Lachin HaRachim, we'll start the third parak tomorrow.